Mini episode 285 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris. We've got a very special segment here for you today for FDH Lounge. Mini episode number 285. How fitting to do this. How fitting to have a conversation with this gentleman on a show before where we have urged as wide as Bob Barker, Steve Perry, Tommy Lasorda, talking to gentlemen and ladies actually all over the place, all different types of subjects. This gentleman is associated with really the entire Internet as the executive director of the Webby Awards, someone who delves so deeply into everything that is going on, you know, all the good topics all over the Internet, all of the tremendous things that are going on, and with the International Academy of Digital Arts and Sciences, he is on top of everything. This would be, of course, the executive director of the Webby Awards, David Michelle Davies, known commonly, of course, as DMD, who we are very, very proud to welcome to the FDH Lounge. Good to have you on today, sir. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's a true pleasure to get to have you on, to get to talk about what you've had going on with this and the growth of the Webbies, the ceremony over the period of time. You just had your most recent one back in May in New York City, hosted by Patton Oswalt. What were some of the big takeaways from that night?
Oh, it was a great night. You know, it was just about a month ago. We had a lot of really great moments. I think one of the things that probably stood out the most, we honored a gentleman this year named Steve Wilhite, who invented the, as he would call it, the GIF, as many people in the world call it, the GIF, which is the graphical interchange format. Type of image format that has really been popularized over, I'd say, the last 5 years especially, but has been popular on the web since the very beginning. He came to accept the award. David Karp, the founder of Tumblr, a home to many a GIF, was there to present him the award. It was, I think it was the day after Mr. Karp had sold Tumblr to Yahoo for $1 billion, so it was quite the right timing, I guess we'd say. Mr. Wilhite, instead of delivering a five-word speech, and for your listeners who don't know, at the Webbies, when you accept an award, we only let you say five words. Instead of delivering a five-word speech, he delivered vocally. He delivered it using his invention, the GIF, on the screen. And what he said was that it's pronounced GIF, not GIF. And I think for the entire next day, on Twitter, the words "it's GIF, not GIF" were trending for 24 hours in the United States. So that was pretty. It was a great moment, and it was actually a really nice, warm tribute to somebody who's really played a huge role in I think popularizing the web across the world.
Absolutely, it's a landmark achievement on his part. And, again, something that, from your perspective, had to be really great in terms of the ceremony, something that took you beyond the audience that already knows about the ceremony and appreciates it to a wider one there. If you're trending on Twitter and people are getting into it, then they're looking into, oh, where did this happen? So that had to be really, really tremendous for broader coverage on your part, I would think.
Oh yeah, it was great. I mean, the New York Times wrote an article about it, and it was in, you know, local papers and in international media outlets as well. And the funny thing about it is that we suspect that, you know, I remember back in the days when, you know, even 12, 15 years ago, people were arguing, you know, like developers, we'd sit around and argue about this. So I suspected that it would, that there was a core group of people who would want to debate the pronunciation of GIF or GIF. I certainly did not realize that you know, that there would be any kind of a national, that it was a national conversation, and that people, you know, beyond just the deep nerds of the web where, that we inhabit, that there would be other people who would be interested in this. But evidently there was, and I think even like the publisher of like Merriam-Webster Dictionary chimed in about it, and then finally on Twitter, the peanut butter brand Jif also posted that they believed it was pronounced Jif, which is not surprising, I guess. So.
Yeah, I think they had an axe to grind on that as well, but that worked out well for them, clearly.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, in terms of the time that you've been in charge of the Webbies as executive director, what have been some of the developments? I mean, obviously, I know that over the period of time since then, you know, you've had the explosion in social media, as we talked about with Twitter and some of the other sites also. So you've had the developments on the web that have sort of shaped where you've been going with this. But internally, how you guys have approached the ceremony and how that's kind of grown and developed, how has that kind of changed since day one of you running this?
Yeah, I think a couple ways. I think the biggest thing, and it really plays out, is just, and you sort of touched on it, is just that the impact of the web today is, you know, it's just so much more significant than it was, you know, even 10 years ago. And the diversity and the breadth and the type of impact it has on everyday people's lives, and that's pretty obvious. But when you go into sort of looking how that's impacted our organization, it means that the work that we're honoring is not just, you know, really interesting technical, nerdy, arty, or scientific or engineering work, but it's work that, you know, that really makes a difference in everybody's daily lives. And, you know, so that actually makes the programming and the making of the show even more fun than it already was, because now we're really playing in a we're sort of playing in an arena of pop culture, essentially. And it's a lot of course entertainment, but also a lot of thought leadership and politics and business and all the different types of disciplines that sort of, you know, shape up the world as we know it. So, you know, I think a great example is just that, you know, the one I just gave you there, which is the honoring Steve Wilhite. And, you know, we also had Jerry Seinfeld at the show this year for honoring him for the show that he put online that he started last year called Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. And that's, you know, that's pretty opposite ends of the spectrum if you really think about it. You have, you know, one of the more popular American comedians of the last 50 years and, you know, also one of the more accomplished engineers of the past 50 years. And I think there's not a lot of places where you get that type of diversity of sort of expertise and so forth. So it's really been pretty exciting to be able to honor, you know, all the different types of disciplines that go into making, you know, the internet as we know it.
Absolutely. And when you talk about that kind of broadness there, and somebody like Jerry Seinfeld, obviously best known for his TV work, but coming to the medium of the internet. The next thing I want to ask you, this is very much influenced by a good friend of ours out your way in the media, one of our show contributors, Simon Applebaum, who has kind of put this thought in my head over a period of time that with the growing convergence between TV and the internet and however many years it'll take before, you know, that pretty much goes all the way and you'll be able to get complete access of both together. How do you foresee this in the long haul? It would seem like the Webbies will move from being, you know, and they've already moved, obviously, from what started as a real underdog kind of a thing. But do you see a day where at a certain point in time, I mean, it might be a couple decades down the road or however long, but where we're talking about it the same way we are the Grammys or the Emmys, because basically everything is on the internet and your domain kind of covers everything then?
You know, I do, and I don't think it's really a couple decades away, and it's I would say that I see that not so much because look, at the end of the day, I think that what happens online is at the core of what's happening in the world, and that, you know, internet culture and what happens on the internet is really driving change all over the world. It's driving the way people govern themselves in the Middle East. It's driving the way films and entertainment is made in Los Angeles. It's driving, you know, media and advertising in New York, and there's certainly 25 other examples of industries and cities where the internet is really disrupting everything. So, I would expect that, you know, being very, very good at the internet is going to be basically, you know, being excellent and having and skills to contribute and work to contribute there and being honored for it is going to be, you know, certainly as important as being good at those other mediums.
Well, that's a very interesting answer. And in light of that, I'd just like to ask you a little bit of a follow-up because there's been this expectation the last couple of years, and you need to look no further than what Google was doing with YouTube, starting up a lot of the 100 premium channels that they were going with starting about 18 months or so ago, and just some of the difficulties inherent in the monetization with that, which has certainly not been unique to them. But new media has been a tougher thing to monetize the last couple of years, perhaps, than a lot of people might have thought. And we're hearing some of the same clucking about social media, some of the difficulties of that, and particularly as it translates to mobile. So do you have any sense of whether it's just been based on a stagnant economy the last couple of years? Were expectations maybe a little bit too great about how things were going to go? Or do you kind of dispute the premise altogether that it's been going slower than some might have thought?
Well, yeah, so I think that, you know, ultimately, overall spending for digital or for the internet or whatever you want to call it has been growing very, very quickly, you know, for years and years, and it's been exponential. And then, you know, we hear every day about spending and sort of the death of print and how that's going down. So I don't think there's any doubt that monies are shifting from one, if not one from many, to digital and will continue to do so. That doesn't mean that certain industries or certain publishers on the internet or on digital are still, you know, challenged and still have to figure out, you know, the best pricing for what they're trying to offer and those type of things. But, you know, just sort of from a macro sense, you know, people are making more and more internet work than ever. Brands and companies are spending more and more of their time and more and more of their energy creating work for the internet, whether that be marketing or products or, you know, whatever it is, or software. It's just that, you know, not everybody's figured out exactly how to monetize everything in a cost-effective and profitable way, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, they're not going to.
Do you get a sense that any of this has been pegged to the stagnancy that we've seen in the economy since the downturn in 2008? Do you get a sense that it's that or that we'd be working through these issues even if the waters have been a little more calm the last couple of years?
I think that there definitely had an impact. I mean, I think that there was an overall retraction in spending, you know, whether it be by consumers or companies across the board during that time. I do think, though, that generally internet properties and spending on internet media recovered more quickly than some of the other ones. And there's certainly a lot of internet businesses here in New York that, because they were growing so rapidly, really didn't feel the economic impact of 2008, 2009, and 2010, and just really grew right through it. So, you know, I think it's a little bit of a mixed bag, and I definitely think it definitely put like sort of an overall macro strain, I guess, on the industry. I think it suffered less than a lot of others.
Well, that makes sense that it's not exactly a pat answer, but maybe a combination of a couple of different things. And since you answered that, at least partially in a regional sense, I'd like to ask you about that as well. What kind of overlap is there in your work as executive director of the Webbies and then also as being chairman and co-founder of Internet Week New York?
Yeah, so we started Internet Week in, I think, 2007 or 2008, I believe, 2007, 2008. It's a public-private partnership with the city of New York, and we really believe that, you know, that New York was a great place for internet businesses and for digital, and there was already great companies doing a lot of great work here, and it just wasn't known enough, and so we've been working with the city on trying to promote New York as a place for people to be thinking about coming to start a career on the internet or in digital. And so we started it, and the interesting thing that we did at the beginning there is we thought, you know, if this is going to be a truly, you know, New York internet festival, rather than us sitting in a room and programming a festival, what we need to do is
make it work like the internet, and have it be an open source festival, and have, you know, engage the community in actually programming the festival themselves. And so that's what we did. And we made a web, and like, what do internet people do when to solve problems? They make websites. So we made a website, and we invited the city's internet community to come and, create events and program the festival and create panels and create parties and list them on the schedule and do all those things. And, they really responded to it. I think the first year we had about 80 to 100 events. And, I think this past year there was a few hundred events. And we've since brought on a big partner, Crane Communication, who really has a lot of experience, for decades now with events and festivals and that sort of thing. And so they've been a great partner and have helped grow it even further here in New York. And, we think it's certainly contributed. It's been a big compliment to the New York's internet industry, and certainly it's been a great thing for the Webbies and vice versa as well.
I'm always fascinated whenever something like that takes root during a long-standing municipal administration, and then there's a change on whether it be the next administration is every bit as supportive. So one way or another, at this point in time, next year there will be a new mayor in New York, as Mike Bloomberg is not up for re-election. So do you have a pretty good degree of confidence at this point in time that with the growth in the event the last couple of years and the importance that it's had to NYC, that one way or another whoever's in Gracie Mansion is going to understand and be behind this as much as Mike Bloomberg has been?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Ultimately, the event is great for New York City. It promotes New York as a digital destination, and there's many other things that do so as well. So it's not to suggest that Internet Week's the only thing doing that. But it's a very important industry to the future of the city. It's an industry that actually overlaps and affects a lot of other important industries: media and advertising, real estate, finance, engineering, et cetera. So I can't imagine why it wouldn't be supported. It's been an immensely popular and positive thing for New York.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm sure that'll be the case for all the good work that it's done in terms of that industry there. I had heard one of the candidates speaking recently about the importance of the digital industry to New York, and that appears to be one of the big growth areas there, does it not, in terms of the city's economy and their adaptation to the digital realm? Internet companies, from what I can see, are a big part of the growth that's happening in New York City right now.
It is, and the interesting thing is actually it's an important industry for a lot of cities around the world, not just in New York. So we started I worked with my colleague here and New York City's chief digital officer, Rachel Hout, on a project last year. We created, it was called Mapped in NY, and our idea was to literally map where all the internet companies were in New York City, and to then have information about whether they were hiring on that map. And, now there's thousands and thousands of companies on the map, and people from all over the world who are interested in moving to New York can actually go to the map and see where the companies are and see if they're hiring and contact them. And that's brought a lot of, new people here to New York and really helped promote the city as, like a digital destination for employment and growing employment here in the city. And then since that, we've seen cities all over the world, like literally, and I mean this in a very flattered, positive way, copy the concept and have their own digital maps showing where their companies are and how you can go work in the internet industry in those cities. So, I think it's a very important sector, and it's not, like I said, it's not just here in New York. It's literally in everywhere from, London and Rome and Tokyo and all over the world.
Absolutely, and all of those corners of the world and far beyond that even are where you're seeing good work done on the internet, worthy work of being spotlighted by the Webby Awards. I know that people can go to webbyawards.com to get information, DMD, but for anyone looking ahead to next year and optimistic of competing for one of the Webby Awards, what would basically be the channels that people would go through to start to get under the microscope by you folks?
Super simple. We actually launch our call for entries in September, and anybody can enter their site. You just have to go to levyawards.com. It's a pretty simple process, choosing categories and that kind of thing, and you submit it, and ultimately our academy will start reviewing the work pretty quickly after that, and eventually we'll be announcing the nominees, I believe, at just the beginning of April of 2014.
Excellent. Well, people can go and check that out, and yeah, it is a very simple process, clearly, so they can do that. We always like to give our guests a chance to plug anything and everything, DMD. So did we miss anything? Is there anything else out there that you want to make sure we talk about?
There's one other thing I would mention is, we just launched a couple months ago, right before the show with the winners, when we announced the winners, we launched a new winners gallery. You can go to it at winners.webbyawards.com. And it's really great. It has all 17 years of Webby Award winners. The site is super responsive, so you can look at it on your tablet or on your smartphone or from your desktop. And it's really, if you're a big internet fan and interested certainly in the history of the internet, make sure you have enough time blocked off. Hopefully we won't take up too much of your time, but you can really sort of fall into a treasure trove of what's great work, the great work of the internet today, and of course of the past, which is a lot of fun. So I really recommend people check it out. We're really proud of it, and it's been a great project. And it's at winners.webbyawards.com.
Absolutely, as well you guys should be. A tremendous amount of great work there, and I can tell you, as one of the small fish out there, very aspirational for any of us to think of possibly winning one of those awards someday. And it is a great honor, obviously, for those who do make it through and are chosen. DMD, I know you're a very busy guy. We really appreciate the time today, and I want to congratulate you on the recent positive developments in your life, and all
Thank
the best.
You
certainly love to have you back on sometime soon.
I'd love to. Thank you so much for having me. Sorry to your listeners there for that little phone glitch we had, but I appreciate you having me on.
No problem. I truly appreciate having you here, and I truly appreciate everyone who tuned in. FDH Lounge, mini episode number 285.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.